And now for our weekly peek into the mind of news analyst Neil Conan. There just might be a few stories you too may be following. The Olympic Games say goodbye to Rio. The FBI finds thousands more of Hillary Clinton's emails. The politics of compassion in Louisiana. And Iran bristling after Russian allies show off. Neil joins us now, as he does most Tuesdays, from his Macnut farm on the Big Island. Good morning.
Good morning.
And first of all, I got to talk to you about your immediate story. Have you been able to continue your harvest with all that rain?
It's one of those very strange days yesterday where it rained everywhere else but here. Usually it's the other way around. It is really hot and humid, which is not great, but if you listen closely, you may hear the happy sound of nuts going into plastic buckets.
Okay, I'll listen carefully, but while we're talking about rain, President Obama heads to flood-stricken Louisiana today on his second day back from vacation. Donald Trump is taking credit for it. What's up with that?
Well, everything is always about the Trump in Trump world, but this time he may be right. He was in Louisiana with a truckload of relief supplies last week, I guess over the weekend, amid criticism that the president was unwilling to interrupt his golf on Martha's Vineyard. Now, the White House staff pointed out that the governor of Louisiana, John Bel Edwards, had asked them to postpone the visit because of all the disruptions that come with the president. But now the governor says the Trump visit was helpful. He says he's prompted President Obama to go there. He's there today, and Hillary Clinton will be there soon.
But amid all of this posturing and all the photo ops, though, the flood in Louisiana has caused such enormous suffering and damage. Shouldn't really that be the focus and not politics?
Obviously, you're right. But the two go hand in hand in some important ways. Disasters are one of those moments where almost everybody agrees that government has to step in and help. Now, George W. Bush got tremendous criticism on Hurricane Katrina, not so much for that unfortunate picture of him looking down on New Orleans out of the window of Air Force One, but really because of the dreadful response of FEMA and other federal agencies who so badly mismanaged the situation. By all accounts, the response this time has been much better. That, in the end, is going to mean a lot more to people dealing with this terrible flood than the pictures of, you know, Donald Trump handing out water bottles or whatever images we see of President Obama and later Hillary Clinton. But after, you know, after weeks of really bad news, Trump did steal the march on this.
But isn't there a huge issue that we're ignoring, Neil? I mean, this is exactly the kind of weather that climate scientists have been warning will be the product of climate change. Warmer air holds more water vapor. That means more and bigger storms, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And to bring that around to politics again, Donald Trump and much of the Republican Party deny that climate change is real. He called it a Chinese conspiracy. And I think the Democrats would be well served to emphasize that difference. They did somewhat in the convention that, you know, one candidate accepts the overwhelming evidence of science and one doesn't. But standing next to a flooded out farmhouse might be not the best moment to do that. That's a moment for heart and not for head.
Okay, you mentioned Trump's spell of really bad news. And since we spoke last week, he fired his campaign manager. He brought in a new team. Even changed his tone a bit, and he even said he regretted some of the things he said.
But he didn't say what exactly, and that's going to invite a very long series of questions. But you're right on the change in tone. He had a meeting with Hispanic leaders and reached out to African Americans, you know, that what do you have to lose speech that many saw as patronizing. And again, images are important. This was at a rally in suburban North Carolina, not on a street corner in Cleveland. Yesterday, Cokie Roberts made a point on Morning Edition that I think was spot on. None of this is really aimed at African-Americans or Latinos who are unalterably opposed to Trump at this point. This is designed to persuade white independents and a significant fraction of Republicans that Trump maybe isn't quite the racist they think he is. The shift is being credited to his new campaign manager, Kellyanne Conway. And I think we have yet to see the influence of Steve Bannon, who left Breitbart to head up the Trump-Pence campaign.
So did Donald Trump actually soften his position on immigration? I mean, isn't that the heart of his whole campaign?
Absolutely. And if changing campaign managers twice isn't the sign of a campaign in deep trouble, this is. We're going to build a wall to keep out Mexican rapists, and we're going to bar all Muslims and deport everyone here without papers. This is the signature issue that has both electrified Trump's nativist base and repelled almost everybody else. Now, he's talking about something a little different, something fairer, he says. But, boy, it's going to be tough to retreat enough to win over some moderates without alienating that base, which is exquisitely sensitive to any sign of betrayal. And, frankly, I can't see Trump as being disciplined enough to walk a fine line for very long anyway.
Okay, well, I got to ask you about Hillary, too. She got some bad news. Another set of emails, 15,000 of them uncovered by the FBI during its investigation. Now the State Department's going to release them. So what do we make of this?
Well, those emails have to be scrubbed first to make sure the disclosure will not reveal classified information. So that's likely to take until October. Obviously, we don't know what's in these emails and anything that might be embarrassing, but this means the issue is live right up to Election Day. That's very bad news for Hillary Clinton. The email saga has come to symbolize all the doubts that people have about her honesty and her trustworthiness, about the pay-for-play connection between the State Department and the Clinton Foundation. None of that's been proven, mind you. The FBI that dug these emails out of her server obviously considered them. They looked at them in the decision not to prosecute. So there's not likely to be any smoking guns in there, but this looks terrible.
Okay, we've yet to talk about the polls, though. Now, last week, Trump was in something close to a free fall. This week, that seems to have stabilized.
The national polls have settled down to show Clinton ahead by 4 to 6 points, which is still substantial. Nate Silver of the 538 website points out that Clinton does significantly better than that in the battleground states. Now, it's not exactly clear why, but those are places like, you know, Ohio and Florida, where her advertising has focused, and Trump ads are just starting to go up on the air. The conventions are well past us now, and this is the moment when most analysts think the polls start to become predictive.
So is there any sign that Trump's new campaign leadership that you talked about a moment ago has really improved the mechanics of his campaign?
No. We talked last week about Trump wasting his time in Connecticut, a state he is not going to win. This week he has rallies in Texas and in Mississippi. Those are states that he is going to win, and there's no point to campaigning there. This is wasting precious time. Time is running out. The campaign has not begun to focus on some of the basic tools of practical politics. It has nothing to do with ideology. These are basic tools, and they're not using them, and it's going to cost them, I think.
I want to touch back with you on an international story we talked about last week, the decision by Iran to let Russia use one of its air bases to launch attacks in Syria. This week, those bombers are all back in Russia. What happened?
Well, apparently, the Russians were supposed to keep this quiet instead of bragging about it. The Iranians called them show-offs and said they'd been betrayed, their trust had been betrayed, and kicked the Russians out. Now, one problem is the Iranian constitution prohibits foreign troops on Iranian soil. This is something you can finesse if it's kept quiet. But when Russia went public, it caused a problem in domestic Iranian politics. The Russians say the planes returned because their mission had been completed, but that's not going to fool anybody.
So is this going to undermine the alliance between Russia and Iran that's been propping up President Assad in Syria?
I don't think so. Moscow's goals in Syria are not exactly congruent with Tehran's, but and there is historical mistrust between these two countries. I don't think Iran much liked it just last year when Russia took over as the senior partner in Damascus. But Assad was losing before. He looks much more solid now. Both Russia and Iran have more important issues in common than this. I think it's just going to amount to a kerfuffle. It is a setback for Vladimir Putin's broader goal of establishing Russia as a great power. And I think that's really what really irked the Iranians, that he was, you know, strutting across the global stage at their expense.
Okay, one more thing, just one more thing. I wanted to ask you about the Pacific News Minute that we're hearing today, that almost 1,800 people have been killed by police and vigilantes in the 7 weeks since Rodrigo Duterte took office as president in the Philippines. What's going on there?
Well, this is a presidential candidate, a president honoring his campaign promises. This is exactly what he said he would do. He would crack down on crime, particularly the drug crime. It has to come as absolutely no surprise. When he was a mayor of Davao, the city in the southern Philippines, he was, if not a part of the death squads that killed hundreds of people there, he certainly encouraged that activity. He said openly that he encourages the public to take the law into their own hands and kill people. Mm-hmm. He at a weird news conference on Sunday night, started at midnight,
right.
said, yeah, I acknowledge that people are being killed, but our campaign is really picking up some momentum here. And he lashed out at critics like the United States and the U.N. who criticized these massive extrajudicial killings. The other point is, this is, at least right now, popular with the people in the Philippines who really wanted something to be done. I'm not sure how long that's going to last, because this is extraordinary.
All right. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there on that note, but we will talk to you again next week. Thanks, Neil.
You bet, Bethann.
News analyst Neil Conan joins us most Tuesdays from the farm, and you can also hear his specific news minutes, including the one we were just talking about, right here on Hawaii Public Radio.